south of Birmingham, the north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in for good measure. Ernie Yarbrough here, Right Side Radio, filling in for the one only Phil Williams, moving into our last hour here. Man, I've been having a blast, and it continues because we have somebody on the phone here on the call-in today who is someone that I admire very much for his courage, tenacity, and just get-her-done attitude when, you know what, it's a grassroots need, saw a problem, fought for a fix, and he's doing a fantastic job. Ryan Dawson, President, CEO of 1819 News. Brother, welcome on board.
Ernie, how are you, brother?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. How are you, sir?
Fantabulous.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know you're a busy man and a man that I've watched when I came into the legislature, having grassroots news that would cover stuff that, you know, didn't seem like other places were willing to cover. And the longer I stand in the legislature, the more thankful I am to have 1819 News there covering and being willing to take the courageous stand when other agencies are not willing to. You had a speech you gave recently that was very eye-opening to me, and you talked about this idea of journalism and the idea that there's such a thing as corporate-sponsored journalism versus grassroots-sponsored journalism. So if you could take a minute just to kind of give a backdrop to that story with 1819 News, and what does that mean, and how has that played out in our state?
Sure. So I'll go back even a little bit farther and say that the absolute descent and obliteration of the journalism world really happened in 2007. And so, you know, pre-2007, a lot of these major news publications, the Huntsville Times, the Birmingham News, the Mobile Press Register, these big, huge publications with tons of journalists that were doing real reporting, and they showed up to city council meetings, and they were in the state legislature, they were well-funded. Like, if you go down to Mobile and you see the Mobile Press Register building they were in, it's like the size of an airport. Huge. Mm. It's just hard to wrap your mind around what happened. And so they were funded, fueled. The mother's milk, as it were, for print journalism was car dealership ads and house sales ads. So companies, you know, real estate ads, if you will. And that was what funded and fueled these things. And so anytime you got a newspaper thrown on your front steps, you'd open it up and there'd be the car dealership ads, there'd be the real estate ads. So that was what funded and fueled it. Well, in 2007, car dealerships and real estate moved to Craigslist, Facebook, Google, and it completely gutted the print journalism industry. And they had to fire all their reporters, and it was obviously really bad. And I always equate that, you know, there's roughly 10,000 law enforcement officers in the state of Alabama. If you fired 9,000 of them, you know, what would happen to crime? Obviously, it would go up, right? Well, the same thing, if you fire 90% of your journalists in a state, you know, corruption is going to abound. We actually mapped it out. There's some studies when a legitimate news publication goes under, the cost of doing government skyrockets.
Wow.
And obviously, we know what's underneath the skyrocketing of cost of government is corruption, you know, cronyism. And that's what causes that. And so that was kind of the, you know, the downfall there. And then the other thing that's an Achilles heel for conservatives is that if it doesn't make money, we don't want anything to do with it. We're very short-sighted when it comes to institutions, culture, media, higher learning, all this stuff. It's all about, we got to get our guy elected. And so we have a four-year election cycle vision, and the left has a 40-year generation cycle vision. And so they're capturing seminaries, universities, Ivy League schools, library boards, I mean, you name it. They are all about institutional capture to shape culture, and the media is one of the things they've captured. And so in 2007, all the conservatives got out of media, or print journalism specifically, because there was no money to be made. And the left capitalized that, and a group in New York and New Jersey, I think it's Advanced Media and Newhouse Publications, came in and bought the Huntsville Times, the Mobile Press Register, and the Birmingham News, and they put it under this company called the Alabama Media Company, so that you would never know that it was coastal elites that owned it. And they started pumping out communist propaganda, you know, the standard, you know, good dirty rednecks and, you know, bitter clingers, barely clinging to your guns and your Bibles, voting for Donald Trump. That's what we get out of AL.com. And the alternative that sprung up that was supposed to be not radical leftist, telling us how stupid we are, was supposed to be, groups, we'll say, like Yellowhammer that pop up, and they begin to embody this problem that you brought up. And again, I think they were well-meaning. I think there's great people that work there. So it's not a slight in that way. I just think it's a difference between us and them is this idea. I call them PR for the problem. It's not just Yellowhammer. It's all kinds of publications across the country where this is the case. Either it's almost like it's been co-opted by the left, or the corporations are funding it. And so in order to really investigate corruption, you have to be free to do that. And I think another really cool story that embodies this is, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, Elon Musk was at the New York Times book deal summit, where all the global corporations and ad agencies were here gathered in this one place. And he was being interviewed in front of all of these global corporation CEOs. And this smug journalist asked him, and they say, he said, "Mr. Musk, what do you think of these, corporations that say they don't feel safe advertising on X, your platform?" And he said, "Oh, you mean these corporations that are trying to blackmail me for money into censoring content?" He says, "Go blank yourself, okay?" Mm-hmm. And again, since we're on the radio, blank yourself. And he says that he doubles down. He says, "Bob," talking about Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, "go blank yourself." And what ended up happening from that was this huge conversation that erupted online after that about the idea of corporate-sponsored journalism. And is that an oxymoronic statement on its face? And the answer is yes. And so Glenn Greenwald kind of fabulously wrote that it is the job of the journalist to scrutinize power. Mm. And when the power, and I would break power down into government and massive corporations, and which is turning into one uniblob now of government and corporations, is all kind of the same thing now, but I digress. But when power is paying the journalist can't scrutinize the power. And what we're seeing, what he brought out is, what we see on the global and national scale is, the vaccines are safe and effective, brought to you by Pfizer. It's like, well, wait a second. What's going on here? The people funding these news outlets are the same ones that are getting the results they want in the news articles. And so where Elon Musk and these other guys and Glenn Greenwald brought that out recently, we noticed it 3 years ago in Alabama that these big corporations, and again, nothing necessarily wrong with these corporations, but their interests aren't our interests. Mm. Their interest is their stockholders, their shareholders, their publicly traded companies, and they want things that we don't want. And when corporations are funding these news outlets, these news outlets can't then investigate and hold accountable these corporations.
Mm. Wow. That's a great point, that honest journalism acts as a huge light switch to really cause the people to see and understand. And, that's incredible that corporate business world in Alabama is becoming the major sponsor of some of these major news outlets. And it makes total sense. If, you're not going to slap the hand that feeds you. You're not just like on the national news. You're not going to they know where their bread is buttered, in other words. And they're not going to, they're going to honor those that pay their bills, which is obviously on the one hand, it's very much against the spirit of journalism, because as you said, honest journalism causes corruption to go down and better practice, honest practices to go up, because it's accountability, it's transparency. But obviously when people who are paying those bills are the ones that you're supposed to be reporting on, well, that dramatically changes what's going on. And that's why I think it's so important that, to your point, we have to invest. And I've been saying this over the last couple of days, 40 and 100 year plans. We need 40, 50, 60, 100, which includes seeing the value of investing in journalism from the grassroots level. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to continue that topic of conversation, talk about how that grassroots funded journalism allows people like 819 News to report on things and promote things of our values and faith and family that otherwise doesn't happen, because promoting the family is the right side way. Got Brian Dawson back on for second part, talking about honest journalism, grassroots funded journalism. Corporate journalism turns out is a thing. And shock and surprise, when you have corporate funded journalism, you don't have journalism that reports on the bad things that the corporations might be doing, the DEI or the ESG that they might be pushing, right? But turns out when you have grassroots funded journalism, you get not only a huge light switch to talk about those issues and expose it, but you also get the celebration of what is right and good and true. And Brian, I love what you talk about a free and flourishing Alabama and entering into the culture war, celebrating that which is good and necessary in journalism. And one of the things you've been talking about recently, you've had some really honoring articles about your wife and how amazing she is recovering the love of home and family. And we're in this culture war right now where we can see, you know, the Harrison Butkers of the world, their speeches like touch a sacred calf. It's like hugely controversial. People get all tore up about it. But talk to us for a minute. Why do you think that recovering a love of a home and family and celebrating that openly is so important and critical to turning the tide in the West?
Sure. Actually, Rick, I'm partnered with Rick. Well, I'm not partnered, but Rick Burgess has me teach at Man Church, which is his ministry. And this is a big part of my sermon that I preach every time I go in and preach on his behalf at these churches. And it is that the two piston engine that is the absolute, it's the engine of culture and civilization and society is church and family. Mm. And our civilization is on the, we're on the brink of the end of our civilization. And it's because men have been relegated to the sidelines. Mm. And I will go a step further and say that the reason that I believe men have been relegated to the sidelines, specifically in a place like Alabama that claims to be so Christian, I believe we are, is a truncation of the Great Commission. Mm. And I'll get a little bit theological for you on this Thursday. Mm. And say that the Great Commission that you hear from so many pulpits everywhere is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's good. But the truncation is at the beginning and the end. And so it's truncated in the sense that it actually begins with, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. King Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, righteously ruling over all things. Right now, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Mm-hmm. And his authority is absolute. And because of that, we are to go and make disciples, baptize them. And then it says at the end, teach them to observe or teach them to obey all that I have commanded. And so he has real authority and we are to obey. And men have not been taught to obey. They have not been taught to obey how to be churchmen, how to be in the family, and as you see in the legislature, how to be statesmen. We have not been taught this idea that there actually is a king and his name is Jesus and we actually have to obey him. And when we do that, things begin to look different and it looks different in our home. And he tells us how we should live in our homes, and we begin to see fruitful families and fathers taking up the mantle of masculinity in their home as the leader and provider and protector and the one who purifies his wife and his children, the washing of the water of the word. You see that taking place, and you see wives embracing a godly biblical femininity and understanding that it's their role to be homemakers and that who would take care of the home and take responsibility for the management of the home, which provides an environment where you can actually train up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And as you do that, and those families that are functioning that way are going to churches with courageous pastors who are preaching the word faithfully from the pulpit, those two things working together is like a two-piston engine that produces godly culture, the type of culture that we always talk about that America was founded on. And we have relics of it now that we only get to talk about, but we're not experiencing it anymore because the church and the family are not functioning as they should. Mm. They're not functioning as they should because men are abdicating their role and responsibility as the fathers. Pastors are cowards, and they're not preaching the word. And because of that, those two institutions have not been producing culture the way that they should, but I will say that I believe that there is a shift and a revival that's coming. I'm seeing many men beginning to embrace their roles, many women beginning to embrace their role as mother, and I'm seeing children who are being taught to obey, and I'm seeing pastors that are sick of all this woke mind virus crap that is being foisted upon them, and they're beginning to just preach the word in its fullness. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. I know you and I have optimism about the future, not only of America, but of the world, because of our eschatology that we share. But yeah, I think that's it. And we want to begin to encourage and facilitate that with content that helps, that helps people begin to do that in their home. And we're free to do that, as you said, because we have people who support us financially that want us to do those things as well as expose corruption and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Amen. I think you hit on something really important there. And then obviously, you know, my friends know, Big Rig is finding out that I love Scotland. Talk about it all the time when even the mic is off and when the mic is on. But of course, Braveheart, right? I quote that movie all the time. And what you said there about courageous pastors and courageous men reminds me of a quote from Braveheart, you know, where William Wallace, he's engaging with Robert the Bruce, and he tells him, he says, you know, your title gives you claim to the throne of Scotland, but men don't follow titles. They follow courage. Right, they follow courage. I love that quote because I also love that it ties into with one of my. I have two family Scottish clans. I have the Davidson clan, which the motto is wisely if sincerely. But the other one, the Henderson clan, is virtue alone ennobles. In other words, true nobility isn't just because you're born into it. True nobility is like by your virtue, your character, right? That's true. That's what makes a man or a woman truly noble. And that courage to say, you know, I'm going to stand. I'm not just going to be a follower. I'm not just going to be a good little boy or girl and get in line in the sense that do whatever, you know, the woke mind virus or the big corporations or the what power structures tell me. I'm going to discipline my mind to think according to the word of God. I'm going to be a principled individual who takes a stand. We celebrate, to your point, so much of even the pastors in the American Revolution. Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg preached the sermon, right? Time for war, time for peace. Takes his robe off, let's go, drums up soldiers, right? Pastor Jonas Clark leads the charge at the Lexington Concord Green, the shot heard around the world. Right? These pastors led their men into battle with courage because they said, hey, we're going to lay down our lives, right? It's not this, you know, barefoot, pregnant, beat the woman, you know, abuse the child. They want to caricature that because the truth is true manhood, right? True, a thriving home and family. I mean, we're seeing the cost of that right now. Young people don't have the character to work, don't have the worldview to work, don't have those engines have been destroyed through a resetting of education off of Christian and faith-based values to humanism and atheism. But you know what? I believe you're right, Brian. We're seeing a reviving, a shaking, a moving of God that is at work in the hearts of dads and pastors. And brother, when that happens, that's the death toll for whom the bell tolls. I tell you the death bell tolls for tyranny and corruption when men and pastors once again take courage. Brian Dawson, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing grassroots journalism, 1819 News. Check it out. Support it because that's a free and flourishing Alabama right there, and that's the right side way.